Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. No matter how much you love Pinterest, we can't spend all our time on the platform. So how can you optimize your time spent on Pinterest? Well, that's where scheduling pins come in, and we'll be talking all about scheduling pins on today's show. But first, have you headed over to manlypinteresttips.com and downloaded my free tackle box? It's full of some of my favorite tools that I use to create my images and to boost my productivity. Quit fishing for resources and go download my free Manly Pinterest Tips tackle box at manlypinteresttips.com. As I mentioned before, today's show is all about scheduling pins, and there is no one who knows it better than my guest, Melissa Meganson. Melissa is the resident marketing manager and cat lady at Tailwind, the leading visual marketing tool for brands. Melissa specializes in content creation, social media, blogging, PR, outreach, and pretty much all things marketing. Now, this interview that I did with Melissa was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guest, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. I always learn something new to try on Pinterest whenever I talk with her, and I know you will too. So let's jump right into my conversation with Melissa Meganson. Melissa, tell me a little bit about your backstory. How did you end up being a marketing manager at Tailwind?
It was kind of on accident, honestly. So when I graduated college, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. That's, I think many college graduates can relate to. So I actually started grad school first and got the job with what was then Pin League. Afterwards. So I was juggling grad school and working full time for the first time ever. I quickly realized that like life in a startup is all inclusive. Like there's a lot of work that goes into it. And the opportunities that I have here at Tailwind or Pin League at the time, even I realized were so valuable and I needed to invest completely into the company. And even to this day, I think I made the right decision. It's the best company in the world. I get to work with my best friends every day. We have an amazing time. I sort of fell into the job, but it's been the best job for me.
Very, very cool. So you've been with them since Pin League. So how many years have you been there?
It's 4 years.
Wow.
I was the second employee. I am now the longest standing other than Danny and Alex, who founded the whole company.
Right. Very, very cool. Very cool. So for people who do not know, and they may be tuning in for the first time, can you tell them what exactly Tailwind is?
Absolutely. So we are a visual marketing platform for brands, bloggers, small businesses, pretty much anyone. We have Pinterest for the past 4 years, but we are starting to branch out some. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we're starting to do a lot more with Instagram, and it's really exciting. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll notice my hashtag testing our new Instagram app, which is so amazing. I'm so excited. So we're mostly there to help you guys make the most of your presence on these visual platforms and be able to find success, benchmark yourself, schedule pins, obviously, just have your life be a little bit easier. Our goal in everything that we do is to help anyone become a world-class marketer.
Very, very cool. And I am a fan of Tailwind. I sent out an email and I do have an affiliate link, but I was a fan and used them long before I became ever affiliated or even knew these people. So it's a great, great platform. We'll talk about it a little bit more today. Now, you and I have kind of talked a little bit about this offline, but I know that Tailwind is what they call an MVP or is marketing development partner, right? Is that right? With Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Can you explain exactly kind of what that is and why that's kind of important?
Right. Yeah. So developer partner, we are vetted by Pinterest. We're trusted by Pinterest to provide our users with the very best tools and the very best experience that they can have on Pinterest, and to help, they trust us to make them. So it's powerful in just your information and your data, as well as being able to say to people like, yeah, you can just log in with Pinterest when you use our tool. You don't even have to give us your password or your username. We're completely safe. We're totally trusted. They know that we are not going to do any funny business with your information.
Very, very cool. So, you know, when we talked offline, like I mentioned before, you mentioned that there are kind of three different types of third-party apps, and you kind of classified them in kind of like the hackers, the public Pinterest API apps, and then the MDPs or the marketing development partners. Can you explain what those kind of are and what the differences between those are?
Sure. So I'll start with the one that I honestly know the least about, which is the people using the open API. That's going to be people who, I'm trying to think of that uses it, but if you see like the Pinterest, that sort of thing on a website, they're probably using the open API, but there are scheduling tools out there that use it. And while it's not putting your account in danger, the open API is meant to be more for consumer-facing products, so like the follow us on Pinterest sort of thing, rather than for businesses. So it's still a little bit of a touchy subject, but at least you're not giving them your full Pinterest information, which then leads me to the more hacker ways of scheduling pins. And those are give your exact email and your exact password to Pinterest too. Not only also your Pinterest account and potentially your bank account. You know, if you have promoted pins or you've bought anything using buyable pins, there's a chance that that information is out there. And a third-party app, I actually recently learned that a non-developer partner app came for to sell us their user data. And if they're willing to come to us and do that, yeah, that doesn't really speak very highly of, you know, what they're doing with your data. So it for developer partners, as I mentioned, we are vetted. Pinterest trusts us. We're not doing any funny business with your information. We're held to a much higher.
Gotcha. You're breaking up a little bit on me. I think we're losing your signal. It's showing me you have a low signal strength. So can you still hear me okay?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you freeze, good. But I think you're back.
Okay, good. Well, it's showing me that you have a low signal strength on your end, but I don't know. This is a new platform, so I'm not really sure what's going on. But we'll continue on because I could hear you just fine. So,
As long as you can hear me.
That's right. As long as you and I can hear you, we'll be fine. So what's the advantage of using a marketing developing partner? You mentioned they give you a bunch of, you know, you have access to maybe some new stuff, but over other and non-partner, what is kind of some of the strengths about that?
Well, not only are you logging in with your Pinterest account and not, you know, putting that data out there that could potentially be sold or stolen somehow. We also have a direct line to Pinterest. So a lot of times if people have issues, they can come to us and we can help them solve it a little bit easier. Not only that, but we have deeper analytics than other platforms that do not have that direct line to Pinterest. So our analytics, because it's coming directly from the Pinterest pipeline, is going to be more accurate and going to be deeper than those who are just essentially scraping. One of the really great things, since the aggregate pins have come out, I know there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of differing opinions about the aggregate pins and whether they're a good thing or a bad thing. But one of the great things about Tailwind is you can still see your individual repins on those pins using our analytics. And there's no plan to have that go away anytime soon. Of course, you know, things could change in the future, but for right now, it's one of the only ways that I know of to still get that information.
So explain a little bit for people who may are just kind of maybe watching this, they know about Pinterest. What do you mean when you say the aggregate pins, the new thing?
Sure. So I feel like it started happening around the time we were in social media marketing world. So it's been a few months now.
Right.
And you might have noticed if you're on Pinterest that you have some pins that went from, you know, 5 repins to 5,000. And it unfortunately doesn't necessarily mean that that particular pin took off.
Right.
It's taking all of the repins counted from Pinterest on that domain. So if your pin has 5 repins, someone else has 20 repins, someone else has 1,000 repins, all of those are being counted and included in that total. So if you schedule out the same pin multiple times, they're all going to have the same repin number.
Mm. So, and Tailwind's, like you said, I think it's the only way you can still get that, you know, the original pin information as far as I know of. So
far as I know too.
Yeah, it's very, very helpful. Now, you mentioned earlier, and I think this is very, very important because, you know, that some of these, and there's some very popular with bloggers, some, and I don't want to mention them on the show, but that you need to really check to make sure that you, the company or the scheduling tool or whatever you're using is a developing partner or not one of these hackers or scrapers, like you said, because it is dangerous giving your information over, especially with promoted pins coming out and people want to try those and potentially giving that access to these people. But it's also breaking Pinterest terms of service. Those people who are doing that. So why is that important? What happens if you break Pinterest terms of service? Do they, you know, just send you an email? Why is that a bad thing?
So there are a number of things that can happen. We don't know the specifics, obviously. Like, we don't know what Pinterest is talking about internally that they're punishing people for in, you know, amount of time or anything. But we do know that potentially you could perhaps hit a pin limit sooner than you think. So if you're scheduling 500 pins a day, you could hit a wall where you can't schedule anymore and you're just stuck. Another thing is if you're flagged as spam because you're putting out pins or because you're using a tool that's not authorized, you could get your account suspended. And we've heard of people having their account suspended anywhere from, you know, a few hours to weeks. And because there's no real way to tell how long that suspension will last, it's best just to follow the best practices and it's best to use a tool that is safe.
Right. And I know a lot of the bloggers who are actually using maybe one of these tools I'm talking about, they get up their income from blogging. And so having their Pinterest account and a lot of times their number one traffic source is Pinterest. So having your traffic shut off for a week is a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal. So once again, just check, you know, Tailwind's great. I love them, but you know, there are other ones out there, but so make sure that they are a development partner because you do not want to mess with losing you know, all that traffic from Pinterest. So anyway, enough about that. I'll get off the soapbox, but
it's a good soapbox to be on.
But what we're going to talk about scheduling pins today. So, now, I remember when there wasn't really an ability to schedule pins, and when it did come out, it was a game changer. So if you're not familiar with Pinterest, why is that such a big deal that you can schedule pins now? And maybe even talk about the smart feed and why that's important for scheduling.
So I think the first thing that people think about when scheduling pins is we're all busy people, so it's a great way to save time. You can take an hour and have an entire week or 2 weeks worth of content ready to go. And it helps you maintain that consistency that your audience is craving and that Pinterest is craving. And, you know, speaking about the smart feed, although timing is not the most important thing anymore, it's still one of the things that Pinterest looks at when ranking a pin. And not only that, if you get those pins out there ahead of time, you can rest assured that within a couple of weeks or a couple months, if you have a great pin with a great description leading back to a trusted domain, it's going to do well. And getting, making sure that those pins are out there consistently is one of the most important things that you can do to ensure that the smart feed is seeing your pins and knows that you're a trusted source and knows that people are looking to you for that information.
Mm. Oh, Elisa and I were talking about this just actually right before the show. We were chatting on Facebook and I was saying, you know, Pinterest is almost kind of like Twitter. There's so much information flowing through all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why people schedule their tweets. And so, you know, if they write a blog article, they schedule it multiple times to be just so it can get seen. It's almost kind of like that. I mean, not to the extent that Twitter is such a huge fire hose like Pinterest is, but it's almost coming to that. There's so much information flowing through Pinterest all the time. Just throwing your blog graphic up there once or your blog pin up there once probably is not going to cut it. You kind of need to use a scheduler and drip that out across boards.
Yeah, and using a scheduling tool to put that pin out there rather than, you know, sending it to all of your boards at once. Right. You can have it drip, like you said. So it's maintaining that consistency, which is, again, so important.
And here's the other thing is, and I get this that every time I talk about any sort of scheduling tool on any social media platform, is you always get these people who argue about reach, and they say, you know, if that scheduling pin, I mean, this was like for Facebook, they were, you know, scheduling posts with Hootsuite or something else is bad, and then it hurts your reach and engagement, and you should only do it organically. Is that the same with Pinterest, or is there any problem with scheduling pins? Does it make a difference? Does it not make a difference? What's your thoughts on that?
There's no difference. It's a myth. Madison and I, one of my coworkers, actually did a Facebook Live last week about myths, and that was one of the ones that we talked about. Why would Pinterest choose to demote pins that are scheduled through a partner? It just doesn't make any sense. And if you look at the pin data, it's no different from scheduling a pin directly using the pin it or save it button now, I guess, versus scheduling it through Tailwind. There's, yeah, Mythbusters. Yes, exactly, Elisa. And I want to read some data that our CEO came up, did the analysis for, and it's pretty incredible just to sort of dispel this myth that scheduling pins is bad for you. So our data shows that within the first 6 months, new Tailwind users are 6 times as active on Pinterest, have 3.6 times as active, have 6 times as many followers, 11 times as many repins, and 3 times per pin on average, as compared to new accounts who do not use Tailwind within the first 6 months.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, and Elise is right. Pinterest even said it doesn't hurt. Like, they've put out case studies that link to their partners saying this is a great tool to use. So why would they put that information out there when they're punishing
scheduling tools? That doesn't make sense. And that's another thing I want to bring up. If you guys, you need to go to the Tailwind's blog because they have great articles. I actually was in there today, and Elise and I were also talking about another case study that they had done. And so there's tons of information on their blog. You need to go out there and check them out as well. But Melissa, what are some best practices? Like if somebody says, okay, I'm on Pinterest, my account's doing well, I'm ready to start scheduling pins, what do I need to do? What are some of your best practices that you tell those type of people?
I think the most important thing that you can do is just benchmark yourself. See where you are now, and then compare where you are in a week, 2 weeks, a month, just to see how you're growing, where your audience is interested, what kind of content they're looking for that may surprise you. And another really important thing is not to share only your own content. Pinterest is not a place for you to create a beautiful advertisement. It's there for curating and providing really valuable information to your users that they're going to be interested in, even if it's not necessarily exactly aligned with what you're doing. So I know you and Elisa have a wedding course that's actually up on Tailwind's Launchpad site. And one of the things that we've talked about is a wedding brand. You'd think it'd be all wedding dresses and wedding venues and food, but it's not. A fitness board makes perfect sense there because it's something that people are looking for. They want to look their best on their wedding day. And if you're there to provide that information alongside, like, oh, hey, this wedding venue in Maine is absolutely beautiful, it's only going to help.
Yes, very good. Very good points. So can you schedule too much? You know, that's the thing is I see all these blog posts and they range from, oh, I'm pinning 150 a day to don't pin over 15. I mean, what is there amount? I mean, does it depend on your, you know, how much content you have on your website? Is it, you know, how fast you want to grow? How much should you schedule the pins? And I know I get this question a lot. So what is your advice on that?
My advice is to start, if you're using Tailwind, start with the time slots that we suggested. And then if you see that those are working, you can start adding more. If you can keep up with it, one of the big things that I think people get overwhelmed with is trying to keep up all that content. Someone's telling me I need to be pinning 300 times a day. How, even if I'm scheduling pins, how am I going to find all that content? And it's just not true. You don't need to be scheduling 300 pins per day. You need to be scheduling what you can maintain and what does not intimidate you. And this was another great analysis that Danny ran for us. And again, I'm going to read it off for you, but it's sort of answering that myth of you need to be scheduling hundreds of times per day. So one thing that we found was scheduling a lot of pins can definitely help grow your following, but only up to around 50 pins per day. And after that, engagement can start to suffer. So once people go over 30 pins per day, the average repin per pin starts to drop off quickly. So there are diminishing returns with that.
Gotcha.
Follower growth generally increases as you pin more, but will flatline somewhere above 50 pins per day. And it appears that penalties start to occur at high pin rates, which decreases the visibility of your profile in pins. Mm. And one caveat that I would like to add to this is if you know you're pinning 55 pins per day, we're not telling you that you're doing something wrong. If it's working for you and you can see the results that you're looking for, maybe your traffic is growing, but your growth in followers is stagnated. If that's what you're looking for, then obviously you're doing the right thing. But this is just more of a guideline for people so they don't think, I am not good at Pinterest marketing because I am not pinning 300 pins per day.
Right.
It's just not true.
Gotcha. Well, here's a question, and I'll use Social Media Examiner's account, which uses Tailwind, and I manage that. And so I actually started pinning more because I've talked to some other pinners. They said, give it a try and see. And so, and we're all about traffic. That's what we want. Cause we go back to, it goes back to Social Media Examiner. They see our products, they buy them, they get the, you know, they sign up for our content or whatever. So we want traffic back to our website. And I still haven't hit the, I think we're, I'm like at 20 pins a day or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't hit, because I want to see where the ceiling is. I want to see when they start penalizing. And so do you think it varies because of the amount of, I mean, I couldn't do this with my own account because I don't have enough content to do that with. But Social Media Examiner has all this backlog and all these good content that they, mm-hmm. they have sometimes two articles a day. So do you think that's the reason I haven't hit the limit yet? Or is, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
That can certainly be part of it. And another thing that I know with bloggers is really important is getting pins out onto group boards. So if you have 100 group boards that you're a part of, it, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it could make sense to schedule 100 pins
right.
because you have so many boards to keep up. But it, with a huge amount of content like Social Media Examiner has, you could pretty much just schedule forever and all the content wouldn't get out there.
Right.
So I very much think it depends on the account, of course, because not everyone is going to be a cookie cutter. But if you're not Social Media Examiner or you're not, you know, Food Gawker or something like that, then 50 pins per day is more. Yeah, that's more than enough than that you need to be pinning.
Gotcha. Well, I was trying to get some free consulting there. So, so that's good to know. So, you know, everybody talks about, you know, make pin worthy content. You know, you see that in blogs, people who specialize in Pinterest, you know, make pin worthy images for your blog. So What is that? I mean, is that some mythical thing out there, a pin-worthy content? Because I've seen some pins on Pinterest that I haven't thought are very pin-worthy, and they are doing really, really well. So What is pin-worthy content?
Traditionally, pin-worthy content, if you're just looking at the image, it will be portrait style, which means that it is longer than it is wide. It's going to have a very high quality image, so there's no pixelization in the image, and that image may have a text overlay to provide some context. And tasteful branding is another thing that's quite important. So if you look at Target's pins that they put out, oftentimes they'll just have the teeny little Target in the bottom corner, and that provides a little, it's branding for one, but it also provides the pinner with a sense of comfort that this is a trusted brand and this is a beautiful pin, and I know that it's coming from the brand. Beyond just the image, the description is so important. That's where you can paint a picture of what the pin holds, what people will expect when they click through. You can use really rich keywords to help attract people that are searching for pins similar to what you're pinning about. And you also need to make sure that your website is a trusted domain. And even if it's not your website, if you're pinning pins that are from a spam site, Pinterest isn't going to look too kindly on that. If it's from a site that's been dinged before, and that maybe I think we've all clicked on a pin and there's that little pop-up that says,
right,
be careful, we think this is spam.
Right.
It's not great to have those on your profile. So definitely check links and make sure that your domain does not qualify for that. And that's a lot of having a lot of redirects, having aggregate content without permission. So a lot of people say like, this is a great blog post, I'll put it here. This is a great blog post, I'll put it here. So that they think they can get that traffic from other people. It's not a, without permission, it's really not a good way to go about it. And it can get you dinged by Pinterest for sure.
Okay. Is that because people report you that you're kind of stealing their content kind of a thing? Okay. That's what I thought.
And Pinterest takes those complaints very seriously.
Very cool. I want to talk about a couple of things that I think are kind of exclusive to Tailwind. One of the things, I don't know if this part is, but I really like that, you know, you kind of talked about it just a little bit before, the suggested times to pin. So, you know, when you first set up your account, you kind of have some general ones, but then it's like Tailwind learns when you're getting the most engagement. How does that happen every day? I mean, when do those, because I always go back and check and like, oh, I've got a new green spot to click on or whatever. How does that work? Is that something with the algorithm that figures out? But how often should people check to to see if they've got new times to schedule?
I think they should check when they feel like, again, it's talking about not getting overwhelmed. If you think you're keeping up with your 15 pins per day and you want to push it, then go look for those suggested time slots that we have and add a few more and see how that goes. If you can keep up with the 17 pins per day, then add a few more. And if you can keep up with the 20 pins per day, then maybe add a few more. And we will keep suggesting time slots for you. Not sure if we have a cap on that, but I'm kind of speculating here. I'm not a developer, but how I understand it is we do look at when your pins are getting repinned and also when pins from your site are getting engagement.
Well, here's a curveball for you. I don't know if you know this, but should we, because I know every once in a while my best time to pins change, because that's one of the features that Tailwind does. It says, you know, your best time to pin is like Sunday at 3 a.m. Should we go back and periodically delete those suggested pins and see and try some new slots? You know, if we don't want to, you know, ramp up how many times we're having to find content to put in those slots, but maybe try some new time slots. Is that something that you recommend to do, or is that way out of line?
No, I think that'd be a great thing to try. I haven't personally tried it, but I know we do have a lot of users that do, and they want to maintain a certain amount of pins per day. So they'll go through and delete their older time slots to try these new time slots. And it kind of calls back to the benchmarking yourself. So make sure you understand where you're at when you start deleting those time slots and adding the new ones and see how it compares. See, maybe it's doing really, really well because it's summertime and everyone's at home now, everyone's pinning all times during the day, but then come fall and people start going back to work and school and babysitting, maybe it'll drop off a little bit. Gotcha. So it's good to pay attention to your analytics, which is one of the most important things I think any Pinterest marketer can do. Benchmark yourself, see how everything is going.
Very, very cool. I use this all the time, but I want you to explain it to people. What exactly is interval pinning when you add that to your schedule and how that kind of ties in? Because I think it's one of the best features out there. So explain what interval pinning is.
Interval pinning allows you to schedule a single pin to multiple boards in one go. And in combination with our board lists, which allows you, if you have a bunch of food boards, you can put them all onto one list. And so you don't have to go through and find every single board to pin to. So it allows you to sort of do a one-stop shop, one and done. You schedule out this amazing recipe to all of your food boards. You set it for, you know, maybe you want it to go out 12 hours apart, maybe you want it to go out 1 week apart. You can set that however you would like. And from there, it will be placed into your queue, depending on that. And another thing that we have is the shuffle button, which allows you to mix up your queue a little bit. But those pins will not be shuffled.
Yeah,
those pins will always be where they are.
That's a very, very cool thing because, you know, I like to mix up third party content, which is not mine, and my own stuff, and being able to lock certain times in and then shuffle everything up so it's still kind of random. I just think that's an awesome feature. You also, I use this a lot as the popular, find out what my popular board is. Mm-hmm. And why is that important to periodically look at your popular board and see what's going on there? Why is that a good thing to do? And I know Tailwind allows you to do that.
I think it's important because it shows you what your audience is actually engaging with, what they find interesting. And one thing that actually happened to me using the Tailwind account a few years ago is I went and looked at our Board Insights page, saw that our SEO board of all things was taking off and doing super well, even though it didn't have that many pins, and I kind of ignored it because SEO isn't the sexiest subject. But it did so well. So I started paying more attention to it, getting more pins from great sources. And that board has continued to take off. Not only are we providing content that our users are interested in, but it also sort of helped shape what content we're creating for the blog as well. So we've created a number of SEO-based blog posts that have done really, really well. Because Pinterest SEO in particular is something that people don't fully understand. And if we can be that resource for them, and that's what you can glean potentially from the board insights, is where can I be the thought leader? Where are my users really engaging? What are they really interested in? What are they needing from me? It can help not only your on Pinterest strategy, but also your off Pinterest strategy.
Very, very cool. Yeah, and that's what Peg Fitzpatrick calls feeding the content monster. If you see something that's doing really well, then your audience is wanting that, so you need to kind of give that to them as much as you can to continue that growth. So that's a very, very good, a very good point. I wanted to talk about, and this is when I first got on Tailwind, I kind of struggled with it, and I still probably do. But there's these graphs when you log into like your main Pinterest Tailwind dashboard, and it says virality and then engagement and then engagement rate. So what are all those, and how can I use those to kind of tell me, you know, what's the best pins to schedule, and how does that all factor into this back into Tailwind?
This is definitely something that a lot of people have questions about because it's not instantly obvious, and it's not something that's out there on other platforms. So it's something that's uniquely ours, but it's also something that we have to describe well.
Right.
So the virality score is looking at your repins per pin. This gives you an overview of how your content is doing over all of Pinterest. So it's looking at not only the repins that you're getting from your followers, but the repins that you're getting from being placed in the smart feed, from being on a category feed or an interest feed. It's being able to get, it's giving you a view of your overall Pinterest presence. And we don't have overall benchmarking for that, which is why it's important to pay attention to those numbers over time. And on our website, we have a like 30-day high little green tick that pops up. So the more you can get that, the better. And then the engagement score is looking at your repins per pin per follower. So it's specifically looking at how your content is performing with your followers. So if it's really important that your followers are engaging with your content, like potentially you had a lot of followers come over from cross promotion. So, you know, like most of my followers are from Facebook and they're already interested in what I'm saying, but they're not engaging with my pins. Perhaps your engagement score is low. Then, you know, I need to change something. Something is not connecting with specifically my followers, even though maybe overall all of Pinterest, it's doing really well. So depending on what your goals are with Pinterest, either engaging a new audience or your current audience, those two scores can give you a great view of how those are doing. And then finally, the engagement rate is just looking at the number of repins that you have over all of your pins. So if you have a repin rate of, or sorry, an engagement rate of 50%, that means for every pin that you have half of them. The numbers work out so that half of them would have a repin. It doesn't necessarily mean that, because, you know, one pin could have 1,000 repins and you have 2,000 pins. But it gives you a grid idea of the number of repins per pin that you have.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's helpful. And that's really important, I think, to track over time. And I always, when I, first thing I do is I look at those gauges and make sure they're still way over on the right side that they're doing. Elisa asks, what's the typical engagement rate, do you think?
That's a great question. Let me look. I'll tell you what ours is.
Cool.
Once I get it pulled up. That's one thing that we know is missing from the engagement scores and engagement rates is being able to know what those numbers mean exactly.
Right.
So our virality score is a 19.9. Our engagement score is a 1.9. And our engagement rate is an 89%. So 89% of our pins have at least one repin.
Cool. And you track that over time to make sure that if something, if there's an issue with something with your account or something like that, all of a sudden that would drop and you'd be like, okay, something's wrong. I need to go look at this and figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gives you a good idea of the health of your Pinterest account.
Gotcha. So I don't do this very much personally, but I know a lot of people do it, but talk about scheduling Instagram posts on Pinterest. I know that's kind of a new feature and I've started to do it. And honestly, I don't think about it that much because it's, you know, one more thing, like you were saying, don't want to get overwhelmed, but what is that feature and why is that? So, I mean, it is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think it's even cooler now because Instagram allows you to have the longer posts. Right. So not everything is a square, which is great for Pinterest because Pinterest is not big on squares. They like rectangles a lot more. But it's really great for cross promotion. So if you have a big Pinterest following and you want to try and build up your Instagram following, you can schedule those pins and say, hey, do you like what you see here? You can come follow me on Instagram. And not only that, but with the new Instagram products rolling out. If you have your Instagram account synced with Tailwind already, you'll have an easier time getting those products. So it helps us right away. You can see your top commented posts, your top liked posts, and just by time. So even from an analytics point of view, it's very basic, but it's still pretty neat to be able to see, like, oh, I totally forgot about this Instagram post from 3 years ago that has 40 likes or something.
Right, right. Very cool. And a lot of the, I mean, like quote graphics, they do okay on Pinterest too. So if you're making them on Instagram, you might as well put them over on Pinterest to a board and see how they do there. I mean, it's, and Tailwind makes it so easy to do that on. Now, are you hinting at there's a new Instagram product maybe coming down the pike? I mean, what's the deal there? Do you have any time of when that may come out?
ASAP.
Good, cool.
We have had an Instagram analytics tool for enterprise customers for well over a year by now, I believe. And we're working on building that out for small businesses, bloggers, at a price point that's not enterprise level, as well as an Instagram scheduling app that I have had so much fun testing recently. It's amazing. I really love it because it does look, it's kind of like our Pinterest algorithm. We look at when your posts are receiving that engagement and recommend those times for you.
Oh, very cool. That is really cool.
And like most Instagram scheduling apps, because Instagram doesn't allow true scheduling, it's a reminder.
Right.
But getting those reminders is really powerful. I've actually been posting to Instagram lately, which is awesome. And we're having a lot of fun with the hashtag testing our new Instagram app on Instagram. So you can go check out what the Tailwind team has been doing the past few weeks.
Very, very cool. And so I'm really excited for that because I run Instagram accounts too. So that is going to be an awesome feature because I love everything Tailwind does. So Melissa, where can they find you online? I really appreciate you coming and taking the time today, but where in the world, I mean, and give them, and you may want to drop in your Instagram ID too in the chat, because I think people would like to follow you there. But for anybody who wants to sign up for Tailwind, that's my affiliate link. I just dropped in there, but tell them where they can find you at.
I'm pretty much everywhere at Melmeg, M-E-L-M-E-G-G. There's my Instagram. So Instagram.com/Melmeg, Twitter.com/Melmeg, Pinterest.com/Melmeg. I don't own Melmeg.com, but I do own Melissa.marketing at least.
What, your MySpace ID? No, I don't want to go there. but anyway, she writes some great articles as well on the Tailwind blog. And really, even if you don't use Tailwind, go and sign up to get those articles because they really, really are good and they're very, very helpful. So as always, I'd love for you guys to visit me at manlypinteresttips.com and click on the sidebar and sign up to be a part of the email community. Well, you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Melissa today, because at manlypinteresttips.com, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everybody.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone one pin at a time.